Now, when it comes to college saving and college investing, I can't think of anyone better to talk to you about this than someone that has spoken to hundreds of thousands of high school students and college students all across America. Really got her finger on the pulse of what's going on out there on the college campuses right now. My daughter, Rachel Cruz.
Thank you. Well, over the past couple years, I've traveled around talking to college students, and I've been finding this common theme, and that is one of student loans. And I've personally come to believe that student loans are the roadblock for this generation. Just last month, I was up north talking to a private school with a couple of thousand college students, and at the end, this guy came up to me, and he was telling me that he was graduating in May, and he had taken out loans for the entire 4 years. So he was going to graduate college with $90,000 in student loan debt. And then he tells me that he's engaged and they're getting married in June. And his fiance took out all loans to go to college. So she has $90,000 in student loan debt. And my heart just sank because I thought, you are 21 years old. You're going to be newly married, and you guys are going to be $180,000 in debt. And then he proceeds to tell me that he found this mission organization down in South America, and they had this dream of going down there. But after running the numbers, as you probably all know, they're not able to go. They're not able to do that because of their student loan payments. And I just thought, that's so heartbreaking that, again, you are 21 years old. You have your entire life ahead of you. But yet, you can't do what you want to do, your dream job, you know, what God is calling you to do because of your student loan payments. And so this idea of student loans, again, it has become the roadblock of this generation. So parents, I encourage you, yet I am pleading with you to be all up in your kids' business when it comes to this subject in life. You have to be. And that means if they're 2 and you're just now starting to save for it, or they're 17 and they're applying for colleges in the fall. No matter where they are on that spectrum, you have got to hold their hand and walk them through this process. So this brings us to baby step 5, which is to save for your children's college using tax-favored plans. And yes, this is baby step 5, not baby step 4. Baby step 4 is 15% of your income into retirement. So you do that first, because retirement is going to happen whether you like it or not. College may or may not happen. And so you're not a bad parent for doing that first. Do that. That's okay. That's what we recommend. And then after 15%, then save for your kids' college. You know, I watched my parents really get their act together financially. And so we were able to go to college, to a state school, in 4 years with a plan to graduate debt-free. And Dad, in fact, told us that if we didn't graduate in 4 years, anything beyond that, we had to pay for. And I can remember sitting at freshman orientation and the little orientation leaders on stage, you know, talking about all the opportunities this school has for you. And Dad's sitting here, Mom's sitting here, and he said, you know, 53% of students who start at this school will graduate, but only 20% do it in 4 years. And so Dad reached over and wrote on my orientation packet, "So have a plan," and underlined it like 6 times. So I was very aware of that. So I did graduate in 4 years debt-free. And that was such a blessing. But sadly, that is not the reality today, because the reality today is that 2 out of 3 college students are taking out loans to go to school. And the average college student is graduating with $27,000 in debt. So here are some ways that you as parents can help avoid that for your children. The first is to save in an educational savings account, an ESA, or an education IRA. And this is great because you can contribute $2,000 per year per child, and this grows tax-free. So do the math with me. That means if you start when your child is born to when they're 18, you have put a total of $36,000 in. And at 12% growth, that ESA will be worth $126,000 tax-free. Now, above that, if you want to save more or you don't meet the income limits for the ESA, you can use a certain type of 529 plan. Now, the only type of 529 plan that we recommend is one that leaves you in control of the plan at all times. Never buy a 529 plan that freezes your options or one that automatically changes your investments based on the age of the child. Because sometimes, you know, a computer will do this and they will see your child is 6, so they'll put your money in more aggressive funds, you know, or your child is 16 and they'll put it in less aggressive funds. But you don't want a computer deciding that, you know, you want to decide that. Now, there are 3 nevers for college saving. First, never save for college using insurance. Okay, always keep your insurance and your investments separate. Second, never save for college using savings bonds. Savings bonds have a rate of return as low as 3%. And tuition inflation rate is around 7%. So it's not even close. We all got that. Okay, lastly, never save for college using prepaid tuition. Because with this, your money is in the state's hands. And the states are in not great financial shape right now, so you don't want your money there. And that limits you for only staying in state. So don't use prepaid tuition. So again, never use insurance, savings bonds, or prepaid tuition. Okay, Rachel, this is all great, wonderful, but I have a 17-year-old going to school in the fall. You know, what do I do? Well, here are some great debt-free options to allow your student to go to school and still be debt-free. This first piece of advice is honestly the best. And this is to pick an in-state school or a community college. I want to rip my hair out when I am talking to college students. And literally, I have a conversation like this almost on every campus. Well, Rachel, I really wanted to be different than all my friends, so I decided to come to this state school instead of the state school in my state. I'm like, you want to step over a state line, pay 3 times as much to be different. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Oh, awesome. Okay, well, we have some other issues here. Let's keep working through this. Because that happens all the time. You step over a state line and pay 3 times as much. It makes no sense. No sense at all. So don't do that. Stay in state. Take the advantage of in-state tuition. Us Ramsey kids all went to an in-state public school. They're not evil. They're great. So in-state schools are great. And when I'm talking to high school seniors and I say, okay, you guys, if you're wanting to go to college, which you should, education is great, but your parents can't help you and you're the one that's in charge of it, then go to a community college your first year or two. Get your prereqs out of the way and do that. And if you want to go graduate from a big state school, just go to a community college near that state school and your credits will transfer. They work together a lot, so it's possible. So community colleges are so inexpensive, so do that. Take advantage of that for your first year or two. Next is to compare your on versus off-campus living expenses. A lot of people assume, you know, living in the dorm is the cheapest way, or having a meal plan is so expensive, don't ever do that. Well, it's really going to depend the city you're going to school in. You need to look at your options in your particular situation. And we actually have a great calculator online that can help you with that. Next, aim for scholarships with SAT and ACT tutoring. We did this as Ramsey kids. We all had ACT tutoring. I remember going every week for 6 weeks before I took the ACT. And it helps. Tutoring helps. Take that advantage and do that. And take the test multiple times, because the more your scores go up, the more scholarships you can have. And scholarships equal free money. We love that, don't we? Yes. So look at those tests. Take advantage of those tests. And last is probably a shocker, so prepare your hearts. Get a job. Yes. I'm on college campuses almost every week, and I know about this much of them have student loan debt. And honestly, I talk to about this many that have jobs. It is foreign today. And even in school, I knew more students with student loans than jobs. And so if the average college student works 20 hours a week, they can pay their way through a state school. And studies show that the average college student socializes about 20 hours a week. So get off the Frisbee golf course, put down the Starbucks latte, right, and get to work. Get a job. Pay your way through. But Rachel, my child needs to really focus on their studies. I don't want them to have a job. They really need to focus on their grades. Well, how are they paying for it? Well, they're taking out loans, but I just really want them to focus on their grades. Well, actually, studies show that students who work 10 to 19 hours a week graduate with GPAs higher than students who don't work. Oh. You learn time management. You learn so many life lessons while working. So it is not an evil thing. It is a must. So you can go to school debt-free. If you go in state, you look at your living expenses. You apply for scholarships and you're working. It is possible. And parents, I want you to hear this so loud and clear, because in our culture today, we are so okay with student loans. You know, you can't be a student without a student loan. That's just the only way to go to school. And it's becoming a roadblock. People are not able to live out their dreams because of the choices they make when they're 18 years old and their parents are not helping them and helping them financially and mentally. So walk with your students through this. Walk with your kids through this, because it is so, so important. Now we'll have Dave come back to the stage to wrap up this lesson. Thanks, you guys.
Well, this is an important topic, this whole college thing. It is unbelievable. And Rachel's right, teaching your child to work is not child abuse. It actually makes them more employable when they come out. So education is valuable. Your degree is worthless. People think because they get a degree that it's magic fairy dust and it's going to make their life successful. Nope. Knowledge and perseverance and integrity and character and going and getting even more knowledge makes you successful. That's how things work out there. And let me just tell you what's more useless than your degree: your pedigree. You know how much I care where you went to school? Not at all. I have never gone into a doctor's office in my life and said, "Wait a minute, doc, before you touch me, I want to see where you went." Never one time have I done that. Never one time have I gone into a CPA's office and I said, "Now, where'd you get your accounting degree?" I have never asked them that. I've never asked an investment broker where he studied finance, unless it was in conversation after I got to know him. So let me just tell you, very few people care where you went to school. Now, I'm not against an elite education. I'm not against a private education. I'm certainly not against a Christian education. I'm against the debt associated with it and the lack of thought that goes into the planning of your educational process. Now, as we wrap up this whole retirement and college planning thing, I'm always reminded of the time, one of my things is I do best practices, which means I find people who are doing something I'd like to do someday, and I interview them and learn how they're doing it. If they're skinnier than me, I want to know how they did that. You know, if they're better parents than me, I want to know how they did that. If they got a great marriage, I want to know how they did that. If they've become wealthy and they're a strong Christian, a strong Christ follower, I want to know what their life looks like. And I met a man who's become a friend. He's 72 years old. He's a billionaire, actually a multi-billionaire. A billion is a lot. That's 1,000 million. This guy's a Christ follower. He's an unbelievable giver, unbelievable family, really a great guy. Not a perfect person, but a great, great guy. And so I'm asking him, I'm sitting down, I said, "Listen, I want to be you when I grow up. So what do I do?" And he said, well, he gave me a couple pointers: always be a giver, always do, gave me some good pointers. And he said, "And there's this book I read. You got to read this book, Dave." I love books. I'm a book junkie. So what's the book? Tell me. He said, "Well, this book is so good." He said, "I read it all the way up. As soon as I started having kids, I read it to my kids." And he said, "Dave, as soon as my kids started having kids, I read it to my grandkids." He said, I got my first great-grandbabies. I'm reading it to my grandbabies." And I'm going, "Oh, it's the Bible. Yeah, he's going to give me a Bible speech." I said, "The Bible, right?" And he goes, "No." And I went, "Oh, what's the book? Because I'll read the Bible, but I mean, what's the book? If this billionaire is telling me this is a book to read on how to be him when I grow up, what's the book?" And he said, "Dave, have you ever read The Tortoise and the Hare?" And I'm like, "That's what you got for me." All that buildup, and you give me the Aesop's Fable, really? He goes, "No, Dave." He said, "This is an important book because we live in a culture full of hares. They run here and there. They can't keep their eye on anything. They can't focus. They never finish the game. They never finish the job. They can't even watch a TV show all the way through." Guilty. He said, "Therefore, the tortoise is so unusual that the tortoise will win." And he said, "With investing, you just ignore all the ambient noise. You just keep your eye on the ball and you just keep walking. People will think you're strange. They'll call you names. They won't understand. They'll say, 'He's kind of ugly. Look at him.' But you just keep walking. You're going to get prettier. Believe me." And he said, "The weird thing is, every time I read this book," he said, "the tortoise wins." I went, yeah, I bet. He said, you're really not getting this, are you? And I said, no. And he said, when you get home, you get the book. And he said, you read it two or three times, and one of these days it'll come to you. And I did, and I read it. It took me about three times, and I finally, it hit me one day. The tortoise wins. I need to be a tortoise. The diligent prosper. The mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. The diligent prosper. You know what diligence is? Diligence is excellence over time. Excellence every day over time. That's the tortoise. When Paul talks about run the race in the Bible, you look that word up, race, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. It's a long race. The tortoise wins every time I read the book. So 15% of your income going into retirement isn't for 1 month or 1 year. It's for the rest of your life. And it will build a pile of wealth to enable you to not only have lived like no one else, but now you're going to get to live and to get to give like no one else. And you have to take your eyes off of all the distractions, because the media is out there every day telling you how bad it is, aren't they? They're telling you how if you don't elect this guy or this gal, or you don't put this person in, or the world's going to come to an end, and taxes and all, throw a brick through your television. My friend Zig Ziglar says he gets up every morning, reads the newspaper, and reads the Bible so he can tell what both sides are doing. The Bible does not say that fear is a fruit of the Spirit. Fear is not a fruit of the Spirit. It tells us to be courageous, and having done all we know how to do, to stand. And so be the tortoise. Be steady. That's biblical living in your finances. It'll change everything. Now, whatever you do, go back and look at the Complete Guide to Money book that's in your kit, and it's got a chapter in there on mutual funds and on investments. You can get into the details of how that stuff works a little bit more. You can get everything online. You can do all this stuff, but commit to learning how to plant your crops, how to fertilize your crops, and how to harvest your crops, and be like that farmer where you're saying, yes, I am thankful for the Lord's blessings, but you should have seen this field when he had it all to himself. Take 1 minute and write down some of your goals from this lesson.
Thank you for listening to Financial Peace University, Lesson 7, Retirement and College Planning. Please visit daveramsey.com/FPU for further information. This audio is copyrighted 2012 by Lampo Licensing, LLC. All rights reserved, 1749 Mallory Lane, Brentwood, Tennessee, 37027. This audio recording is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is sold with the understanding that the publisher is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional advice. If legal advice or other expert professional assistance is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.